Good morning, and welcome all. We began officially last week, the Tanya. Last week we did the introduction, and today we're actually going to start at the beginning of the first chapter. We've actually learned the one line, but we're going to start over again. Okay. So without much introduction, I think we should just start. Perek Aleph, the first chapter. Tanya b'soif perek gimel de Nida. We learned in the end of the third chapter, in tractate Nida. So in the Talmud, in the end of Masechtas Nida, it says like this. Mashbi anoysoi, that they swear upon a person. Mashbi anoysoi, they swear upon, they administer an oath. Onto who? Onto the neshama. An oath is administered. An oath is administered onto the soul before the neshama comes down into this world. There is an oath that is placed upon the neshama, and they say to the neshama as follows: Tehi tzadik, be a tzadik, v'al tehi rasha, and don't be wicked. Be a righteous person, be a tzaddik, and don't be a wicked person. That's the first part of the oath. And then, now, even if the whole world tells you are a tzaddik, you should consider yourself as you are a rasha. The person should consider himself as a sinful person, as a wicked person. So that's the oath. These are two parts of what the angel, the malach, tells the neshama before it descends into this world. Number one, it should strive to be a tzaddik. And if while the person is alive, he should view himself that he is a rasha. So even if people tell you that you're a tzaddik, you shouldn't believe that. And you should live your life thinking that you're a rasha, for whatever benefit that's going to bring, as we're going to see. So v'tzarech lahavin, now he's going to ask two questions on that. On this thing that a person should, especially on the second half of the braisa, the second half of the teaching, that a person should always consider himself as a rasha, so he asked two things. V'tzarech lahavin, we need to understand otanan avis perik beis. We learned in a mishnah, mesachtas avis perik beis, v'al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmacha, that a person shouldn't consider himself as a rasha. It's not that you shouldn't think of yourself like you're a wicked person. For whatever reason, that's not good. Not good to consider yourself as a rush. So that's a clear contradiction to what the Malach tells each and every one of us, to consider ourselves as a rush. So how can the Malach tell us to do that when there's clear instruction from the Mishnah that a person should not view himself as a wicked person? That's one question. So one is from a Mishnah that contradicts it. Second thing, v'gamim yebein of kerasha, and also if a person will consider himself as a wicked person, yed alavavoy, then his heart will feel sad, will feel bad, v'yeh atzov, and he'll be saddened, v'lo yuchel lavad Hashem b'simcha b'tuv levav, and he won't be able to serve Hashem with joy and with gladness of a heart, and with a good heart. So he says like this, now he's asking a very practical question. What benefit is there to gain from thinking of a person thinks of himself that he's a wicked person? What is there to gain? There can be one of the two consequences that can come out of taking that seriously. Obviously we're not talking about just kidding around. If the Malach tells us we should view ourselves as a Rosh, it means you should really see yourself as a wicked person. So that can result in one of two things. Either one feeling that can result of that is that a person can become very sad and depressed. And we can understand that. Obviously, we're striving. We're trying to do the best in our lives. We're trying to be the best we can be. And especially this person, they tell the person, you should try to be a tzaddik. And we're saying, even if you achieve that to the degree that everybody tells you you're a tzaddik. So obviously, this person is trying pretty hard to be the tzaddik. This is something that is the most important. This is his ambition in his life. He tries to be right and do what's good. Now, if after all that, the person thinks, well, I'm a Rasha, I'm wicked, which means I'm a miserable failure. So if I'm such a failure, so that saddens a person. If all the work and all the hard labor that you've put in trying to achieve something is futile and then isn't producing anything, so that's nothing to be happy about. Quite on the contrary, that saddens a person. So if you know, and besides for the fact that just believing and thinking that you're a wicked person, that ought to make a person sad. So why would we say, why would that be the advice of a soul to a soul right when it's coming into the world? It's not like the person messed up already and is, you know, you tell them, you know, don't fantasize and think that you're better than you are. This is a pure neshama. He didn't even start his work in this world yet. And already we're giving him advice that he should live his life by viewing him or herself as a wicked person. So what's the benefit of that? That will only sadden the person. And if, on the other hand, a person's heart will not feel at all bad from this, which means a person will make sure that they will tell themselves, you know what, I will not allow this to affect me. This is what I was instructed to do. I was instructed by God, or by the heavenly, by the angels above, that I should consider myself as a Rasha, and but it's something that I know isn't good for me to feel sad, so I will not allow this to affect me. Because I know I'm wicked, but I don't take it to heart. I'm wicked, but so that what does that produce? That produces a carelessness. That will produce something. So that means that the person doesn't care about his moral condition. He doesn't think about his spiritual status. It doesn't, and that is maybe even worse than being sad. That means that you don't care, as he says. So if a person you don't take it to heart and doesn't bother you, then a person can come to lightheadedness, which means that usually there is supposed to be a tremendous barrier between us and sin, between us and doing bad. And that is, you know, the fact that it's horrific to us to know that we've done something bad and something wrong. But if I know that I'm wicked because I've done all kinds of wicked, simply, the way we interpret this before we learn the Tanya is that wickedness, being a Rasha, means being a wicked, being having perpetrated evil. So if I'm perpetrated evil and it doesn't bother me, that's a big problem. How can a person live their life knowing they've done bad and they don't even feel bad about it? What's going to prevent the person from doing it again? Part of what prevents us from doing bad things is the guilt and the uneasiness, and that we feel terrible when we do something bad. And Hashem put that in us. He put into us a natural allergic reaction. That's a Jewish guilt that we always, if you don't, even if it's not that bad, even if it's just a little off, we right away feel yucky and disgusting. And this, so over here we're saying that, you know, you can feel you're wicked and it shouldn't bother you. Because if you do let it bother you, you'll be sad. And if you don't let it bother you, then you'll become callous and careless and cold. And that's not good. That's what he's saying. So what's the benefit? He's asking, what's the practical benefit from seeing yourself as a Rasha? Okay. Acha inyin, however, the idea is as follows. We find in the Gemara that there are five categories of people. See that the opening first 12 chapters of Tanya describe the various different personalities, various different people. He really maps out the spiritual and psychological makeup of the human soul. He really opens up the person and says, "This is a human being. This is the inner makeup of a human being, the spiritual makeup of your soul, of your spiritual anatomy. This is who you are," and meaning the general makeup of every human being. And then, based on a person's efforts and work in their life, what they make of themselves. And this is what he discusses in the first 12 chapters in Tanya. Discusses the various types of individuals, like who is a tzaddik, what's considered a tzaddik, various different levels of tzaddik, what is considered a Rasha, a sinful person, and then what is this unique character called the intermediary, the Beinoni. Okay? Now, why is this so important? The general, as we mentioned last week, the book is called the Book of Beinonim, the Book of the Intermediaries. And the thing is like this. when a person is journeying or you're doing anything, the first thing you need to know is you have to know where you're at. If you're trying to accomplish something, if you're traveling and you're looking at a map, there's two things you need to know. You need to know where you're heading to, what's your destination, but you also know where you are. If you're looking at a map, even if you know where the destination is, but you don't know where you are, then you're not going to get anywhere. So you have to first pinpoint, I am here, like you look at in the malls, and you are here. Once you know where you're here and you're trying to get over there, so you can figure out what is the closest and shortest route to get you to the next place. So in our lives, the first most important thing is we have to know where we are. Where am I at? And then we can decide what is a reasonable and achievable goal. Sometimes people raise the bar too high and then they can't reach it. And we all know that if we try to lose 50 pounds in a week, we give up very, very quickly. It doesn't work. You have to set goals that are doable, and slowly you can move ahead. So he's going to describe to us what is doable, what is not doable. And we're going to learn over here in Tanya that there are certain things that people used to think are achievable. They're in their reach. Like people that were very, very, very serious about their spiritual development, and they strive to be a tzaddik. And in the Tanya is going to explain to us that being a tzaddik is not for everyone. There are very unique souls that have the capacity and the capabilities of being a real tzaddik, as he's going to explain what a tzaddik is. So most of us, we shouldn't get saddened if we're not a tzaddik. And if we find out that we have to continuously battle with our yetzer hara, as we're going to see and all that, we shouldn't be upset about that, because being a tzaddik is beyond the normal reach of an ordinary individual. However, we should try to be a beinoni, as he's going to explain what a beinoni is. But besides figuring out what we want to be and what we're striving to, it is of great and unbelievable importance to know where we're at. And to know where we're at, we have to get a little bit of a better understanding of who we are. And it's an amazing journey through the first 12 chapters of Tanya, just presenting the human being from a more Kabbalistic perspective, where we get the understanding of our inner makeup. Generally, the main theme is that we have two souls, not just one soul, and how they are like and how they interact with each other and so forth. It's something that is priceless. It's endless, this information. Okay, so that's why he's going to lay out over here first. He's going to gather different sources from the Talmud, from Torah sources, of what types of people there are. And he's going to ask a few questions which on the ordinary perception of what we usually think these people are. In other words, there is known, these characters are known. Everybody knows about them. Tzaddik, we tell it to our little children, be a tzaddik or something like this. Everybody knows this. But there is a misconception of what it means. So by asking certain questions, by analyzing this a little bit, we're going to first understand what it can't mean. And then in the next 12 chapters, he's going to develop what it does mean. The real definition of these things. Okay. So let's see. The idea is as follows. We find in the Talmud, we find the Gemara, hey chalukas. We find five characters of people. Now he says we find in the Gemara. He doesn't tell us in one that Isa b'Gemara, it states in the Gemara. He says Matsinu b'Gemara, because this is not found in one place. It's not like the Gemara tells us in one place, you have these people. This is a collection from various different places in the Gemara. Two places in Masechtas Brachos. One is in the beginning of the Tractate Brachos, and one is later in the end of Tractate Brachos, where from these various different places it comes out that there are these types of people. Who are they? So they are as follows. Tzaddik v'toivloi, a tzaddik that it is good to him. Tzaddik v'raloi, a tzaddik and that it is bad for him. Rasha v'toivloi, a wicked person and it is good to him. Rasha v'raloi, a wicked person and it's bad to him. Ubeinoni, and an intermediate person. Okay? So here we have five, these are the five. The five categories of people are, there is a person, there are two types of tzaddikim. There's two types of rishayim, wicked people, and then there's one person in the middle called the beinoni. Now, what does the Talmud tell us about, what are the two tzaddikim, what are the two righteous people, or the two saintly people? So he says the two kinds are as follows. There are tzaddikim that, v'toiv loy, the Talmud calls it toiv loy, which means it's good to them. And there is a tzaddik that it is bad to him. So it's a tzaddik that is good to him, and a tzaddik that is bad to him. What does it mean? How do we understand it just by learning the Talmud or the Gemara? What does it mean, a tzaddik that's good to him and a tzaddik that's bad to him? A tzaddik that's good to him means a tzaddik who's living a good life, meaning he's living his life in this world and he has it good in this world. He has a sort of a decent life. Well, he's not suffering. Then there are tzaddikim, there are saintly people who will live very painful lives and a lot of suffering. So these are the two tzaddikim. A tzaddik that lives is only has it good to him, and the tzaddik who has it bad to him. Same is also on the wicked side. There are wicked people who are living it up and they're having a wonderful life. And then there are wicked people who are suffering. Just because they're wicked doesn't mean that they're not suffering. They're wicked and they're suffering. So here we have the two tzaddikim and two wicked people. Now we're going to see. The Gemara tells us it's not just circumstances that there is a tzaddik who suffers and a tzaddik who doesn't suffer. It's because these are two types of tzaddikim. Because the Gemara wonders about this. The Gemara is asking the question, why are there some tzaddikim who have it good and there are some tzaddikim who suffer? Upirshu b'Gemara. Now the Gemara explains, tzaddik v'toiv loy, that which tzaddik is the tzaddik v'toiv loy, that it is good to him, that he lives a good life and he doesn't have any pain and suffering. That is a tzaddik gomor, that is a complete tzaddik, a perfect tzaddik, someone who is perfect. Not only is he a tzaddik, but he's a perfect tzaddik, he's a perfect saint. So a person like that lives a good life, because there is absolutely no reason for him to suffer at all. Because he has no reason. Why should he suffer if he did everything right? So he's going to get rewarded in the world to come, and he's going to have, you know, all the reward, the great blissful world of the world to come, and this world too. He has a good life. Tzaddik v'ra'aloi. However, the tzaddik v'ra'aloi, the tzaddik, the Talmud says, the tzaddik that suffers in this world, that is because tzaddik she'enoi gomer. That is because he's an incomplete tzaddik. He's a tzaddik, but he's an incomplete tzaddik. So he's lacking in his perfection, which means that there might be something there that still needs purification, something that is imperfect. So that's why instead of him needing to get the rectification and the purification in the world to come, where God would rather give him this suffering in this world to complete his neshama, to purge him from any kind of imperfection. And that's the reason. So it's a tzaddik she'ein agam. So we see over here clearly that it's not just the means, the life that they have. Yes, that's what tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi is a description on the type of life that they have. But there is two types of tzaddikim. There is a perfect tzaddik and there is an imperfect tzaddik. Now, the Tanya doesn't continue explaining the two types of rishayim, the two types of wicked people. But now we can understand that the same thing would apply also to the Rasha. That when we say there's two types of wicked people, there are wicked people who have it good in this world, and there are wicked people that suffer in this world. So it's the same thing. A wicked person who's suffering is because he's perfect in his wickedness, means he's thoroughly wicked, and it doesn't have any good to him. If he has no good to him, there's no reason for him to have any good in his life. Which means he will be punished in the world to come, and he will also suffer in this world, in this life. Because God doesn't owe him anything, because he didn't do anything good. But then there are people that are wicked, but they do some good. So there isn't perfect in their wickedness. That's why they have to have some reward. And so instead of giving them reward in the world to come, Hashem gives it to them in this world. So they have some, they're rewarded for their good. And that would be, so these are the two sides. Just like the tzaddik who suffers, who's imperfect in his righteousness. So he needs a little suffering, chas v'shalom. So the same is also on the other side, on the wicked side. That the wicked person who is imperfect in his wickedness, which means he's a little good there, needs to get some goodness so that he can be rewarded for the little good that he does. Okay? So here we have two tzaddikim and two wicked people. And then, okay. Now, obereyem mehemna. Now, he's going to take this a step further. This that we just said, that the two types of tzaddikim, which are called the tzaddik who has it good in this world and the tzaddik who has it bad in this world, in the Zohar there is a different interpretation to the words, to the meaning tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi, which means the tzaddik that's good to him and tzaddik that's bad to him. What do we mean by the words good to him and what do we mean by the words bad to him? See, according to the Talmud, good and bad is not describing his righteousness. It's not describing the tzaddik, it's describing the type of life that he's living. What kind of life does he have? Is he living a good life or is he suffering? That's the question. That's what the ra'aloi and the toivloi. However, according to the Zohar, the ra'aloi and the toivloi is descriptive of the person himself, of who he is. Reya Mehemna Parshas Mishpatim, and the portion of the Zohar called Reya Mehemna in Parshas Mishpatim. That's the part of the Zohar that was attributed to Moshe Rabbeinu, was called the Faithful Shepherd. So in Zohar it says over there, Piddush, he explains, Tzadik v'ra aloy, the tzadik that it is bad to him, means shahara sheboi kafuf l'toiv, that the bad that's in him is subdued to the good, is surrendered to the good. Oh, b'chulu, that's it. Meaning, the Zohar says like this, tzadik v'ra lo means, tzadik is a tzadik, v'ra, there is still bad in him, even though he's a tzadik, he has bad in him, but loy, he is completely in control of that bad. Meaning, he has it in check. He's in charge over it. Meaning, he dominates over it. He controls it. So there is a streak of negativity within him, but it doesn't influence him, as we're going to see. So that's the idea. Tzaddik, he's a tzaddik. Vera, there is bad, but loy, he's overpowering it. He has full control over the bad that's in it. What would then mean tzaddik v'toivloi? Tzaddik v'toivloi means he's a tzaddik v'toivloi. He's thoroughly good. There's only goodness. There isn't one iota, wasn't one speck of negativity or anything bad in him. Okay, that's the meaning, which fits very well with what the tzaddik, with what the Gemara says, what the Talmud says, because the Talmud says that the tzaddik v'raloi. Who's the tzaddik v'raloi? Who's the tzaddik that has it bad in this world? That's a tzaddik that's not perfect. Tzaddik she'enoi gomor. That is an imperfect tzaddik. What does it mean he's imperfect? Because there's something, there's still some negativity in him. Who is a tzaddik v'toivloi? Which tzaddik has it good in this world? A tzaddik gomor, the Gemara says. A perfect tzaddik. So the Zohar and the Gemara are on the same page. The only difference is the description, tzaddik, the ralo and tovlo, the bad to him and the good to him. The question is that a description about his life? Or is that a description on who he is, condition of a person? According to the Gemara, the tzaddik v'tovlo ralo is just talking about his life. Is he good or living a good life and a bad life? And of course, that's dependent on what type of tzaddik he is. If he's a tzaddik gomor or a tzaddik sheino gomor. But the Zohar says that the words toivloi and raloi, good to him and bad to him, is actually describing the person himself. That the perfect tzaddik is one who's toivloi, only good to him. He's sweet through and through. The other person is tzaddik, but vera, there's still some negativity in him, but he's in control over it. Okay, so now we have a little some more description on this idea of tzaddik v'toivloi, tzaddik v'raloi. Okay. Again, as we said earlier, we're just trying to gather now the information. We need the sources through which we can sort this all out and work this out. Okay, now let's take it a step further. Ubi Gemara, Seif Perik Tes de Brachas. Now the Gemara in the end of the ninth chapter of Masechet Brachas adds something else to the description of tzaddik. Tells us something else about these three people. The tzaddik, the rasha, and then the beinoni, the intermediate. So far we didn't speak about him yet. Okay. So Gemara says like this. Tzaddikim yetzer tov shoifta. Tzaddikim, they are judged by their yetzer tov, by their good inclination. Simply, how do we understand that? Tzaddikim, their lives are governed by their yetzer tov, by their good inclination. Because they're always listening to their good inclination. Cool. Rishayim, the wicked people, Yetzahara Shaiftam. They are being judged by their evil inclination. Simply, what does that mean? They're following their evil inclination. And Beinanim, the middle, the intermediate person, Zevezeh Shaiftam, both of them judge them. Simply, as we understand that, they are sometimes listening to their Yetzer Tov, and sometimes they're listening to the Yetzahara. So they're in the middle. Sometimes they do good, sometimes they do bad. Again, that would be our first take on this. As we're going to see soon, later, he's going to read it and point out that that's not the meaning. But just from its simple meaning, he's judged by his Yetzer Tov, he's judged by his Yetzer Hara, and this person is judged by both, so he's in the middle. Okay. Omar Rabba, so when after this, after the Gemara described what is a tzaddik and what is a rasha and what is a beinani, so Rabba came along. Rabba was one of the great Talmudic sages. Omar Rabba, Rabba said, Kigon ano beinani. Rabba said, if you want an example, I am a beinani. I am an example of this middle person who is a beinani. I'm not a tzaddik, but I would be a beinani. I'm in the middle. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya, who was a student, Abaya said to him, Loi shavik mar chaya l'chol berya, then you're not letting anybody live. If you're saying that you are a beinani, that means you're taking away you're taking away our life. You're not letting us live. Why? Because if all you are is a beinani, what does that mean? Make us? That means that we are all rishayim. And so there's very explanations on what he meant by this. One term is, so why is he saying, so therefore you're taking away our life? One thing is if you are only a beinani, that means that becoming a tzaddik is an impossible thing, right? And if becoming a tzaddik would be an impossible thing, if all you attained was only a beinani, then becoming a tzaddik is an impossible thing. That means you're not letting anybody relax. That's what they meant by life. That's what Rashi says. No one has any menucha, no one has any, and no one can be calm because it's so beyond anybody's reach. So therefore, he disagreed with him. He said, you must be a tzaddik. At least we know that's a possible thing. You are a tzaddik and others can become at least close to that or something. But if you're, or some say that he meant it in the literal sense. When he said you're not letting anybody live, he meant in the literal sense. Why? Because if you're a beinani, what would that make everybody else? It would make everybody else rishayim. I mean, everybody else wicked people. And the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that wicked people are instantly nechtavim. They're inscribed in the book of death. Chas v'shalom. As it says, tzaddikim are inscribed in the book of life. They're waiting. We wait until Yom Kippur, and then the Rishayim are nechtavim lemisa chas v'shalom, are written for, inscribed for death. So if you're a beinani, we're all Rishayim. That means we're all. So how can you're taking away our life? That's number one. Or there's another interpretation. One more is that what he meant was, if you're a beinani, there is no tzaddikim, and if there is nobody that's a tzaddik, then the world can't exist without a tzaddik. So you're taking away life from all of creation, because you need to have a tzaddik yisod olam. You need to have at least one tzaddik, the pillar of the world. And he felt that his Rebbe, Rabba, was the leader of the generation, and he was the tzaddik. And if you're not a tzaddik, so then there's no tzaddik, and therefore that we can't have it. So that's what he said to him. Okay. So now, Olahavin calls that. So to understand all the above, to understand all this that we spoke about before, meaning, First of all, the various different levels. Who is the tzaddik and the two types of tzaddikim? Who is the beinani and who is the rasha? And also to understand this dialogue between Rabba and Abaya. Rabba saying that he's a beinani and so forth. So the gamla, Lahavin calls that beheretiv. So to understand this all very clearly, the gamla Lahavin, and also to understand Masha Amar Iyov. This that Iyov said, Baba Basra Perik Aleph. The Gemara says something that Iyov complained. He of Job, who suffered very much. So at one point when he was having a dialogue with his friends, he complained. And what was his complaint? He said like this, Ribbono shel Olam, master of the world, Barasa tzaddikim, you created tzaddikim, Barasa reshaim, you created wicked people. And therefore, he said like this to him. He said, God, you created a donkey and you created a horse. I don't remember exactly which animals he says. And the donkey has to be a donkey, and the donkey can't become a horse, and the horse can't become a donkey. Whatever you created it, that's what it is. If that's the case, he says, and he says, God, you created people who are destined to be wicked, and you created people who are destined to be righteous. So how can you, what's it called again, how can you later judge people and blame people and reward the righteous and punish the wicked when this is all predetermined? That was his complaint. Now it's interesting. The sages, the friends of Iyov answered him back. Now what they answered him was, they said, well, they sort of accepted what he said, that God created people with a certain disposition to be tzaddikim and people with a disposition to be wicked. And it's only that, their answer was, well, Hashem gave us the Torah, and Barasi Yetzahara, I created an evil inclination, Barasi Torah Tavlin, I created the Torah to be an antidote to the Yetzahara. So true, some people have a greater tendency to wickedness and to sinning, but God gave us the Torah, and the Torah has the ability to fight off, to conquer the Yetzahara. Okay. Which seems to imply that they agreed to this premise that people are created with certain tendency to be, or people were created with a destiny to be tzaddikim or rishayim, a destiny, but they're created in a way that some people are leaning to be good and some people to be wicked. Like we find next week, we're going to learn in Parashas Toldos, when Yaakov, 2 weeks from now, when Yaakov and Esav are born, and instantly when they were born, you can see he was full of blood. He was looked like a wild thing. You can see that his Yetzirah was kicking from the moment he was coming out. Even before that, even in the womb, they were fighting. This one wanted this world, and Yaakov wanted the world to come. So you see clearly. That was his complaint. But Tanya is asking, what do we mean? How can Eov say that? That God, you created tzaddikim, created rishayim. V'hot tzaddik v'rasha loy kamar. Tzaddik, whether a person will be a tzaddik, whether a person will be a rasha, wicked person, loy kamar, it was not stated. Where? What are we talking about? It's talking, the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida, that before a child is born, before the mother conceives the baby, so the drop of where the child is going to be born from is brought before God. The malach, who is in charge of a pregnancy, brings the drop in front of God. And he says, this is going to be a tzaddik. What kind of person is this going to be? No, sorry. He asks, what kind of person? Is he going to be strong? Is he going to be weak? Is he going to be rich? Is he going to be poor? Is he going to be tall? Is he going to be short? This means all the various different questions about the person. And the Gemara says, the Gemara says that a tzaddik and a rasha, it doesn't say whether the person will be wicked, whether the person will be a tzaddik, because that's up to our bechira. It's up to our choice. We choose which path we're going to do. So how can Eov say that? What? That this is a predetermined thing, whether a person will be a tzaddik or a rasha, when clearly it says everything else about a person's life is determined, whether it'll be smart or foolish, that's determined. But whether a person will be a tzaddik and a rasha, that's not stated. So it's a clear contradiction to what Eov said, that Hashem did create. And it doesn't say that, again, as we said earlier, it doesn't say that anybody argued on him. So it seemed to imply that this was a correct argument on Eov's part. Okay, so we need to understand it. Then we also need to understand Mohus Madregis HaBeinani. We also have to understand who exactly is the Beinani. What is this? See, up till now we discussed a lot the Tzaddik and the Rasha. But now let's try to know a little bit, what would make a person a Beinani, a middle person, the average person or the intermediate? We would think that it would mean someone who's half and half, half good, half bad. Shebidi says that cannot be the meaning. Shebavadai, because definitely, the Beinani cannot be a person who is half meritorious and half guilty. Sheim Kain, because if we will say that it is that way, that the Beinani is someone who's half and half, how did Rabba make a mistake about himself? Misdiagnose himself. Loi mashu beinani, that he is a beinani. Vinoi, that it is known. The loi pasik pume megirsa, that Rabba's mouth did not stop studying Torah. He studied Torah all the time. To the point that even the angel of death could not rule over him. How would Rabbah be able to make a mistake and consider himself of half sinful? We know that Rabbah was a perfect tzaddik. And it says like this, that when the angel of death wanted to take him, he couldn't. It's a whole story in the Gemara, a very fascinating story. The Gemara talks about Rabbah and how the Malach was trying to get him. I forgot the story, once related it. But the Gemara said he was always studying and the Malach couldn't get him. And he had to trick him in the end. That's how, similar to David HaMelech. Now, a person who is studying Torah all day, he's always studying and always learning, right? That means he's always doing mitzvahs, because he's always learning. And we understand that he was rabbi, he was a sage of the Talmud, who besides Torah study, he kept all the mitzvahs and followed the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, no Shulchan Aruch, but followed Jewish law to the letter of the law, even beyond the letter of the law. He's a big tzaddik. So, how can Rabbah have mistaken himself to consider himself as half sinful? If we're going to say that a Beinani is half and half, I mean, it's half the time he's sinning. Even if we're going to say, okay, Rabbi made a mistake. He really was a tzaddik. The Tanya is saying that Rabbi made a mistake. Like Abaye, you see, Abaye was arguing with him, his student, and telling him, you're a tzaddik. And he accepted that Abaye was right. Rabbi was a tzaddik. But you can say humility, as a result of humility, a person is humble, he feels himself lower than his level, than he really is. But even with humility, there has to be some rationale. There has to be some logic to it. Being humble doesn't mean being foolish and being completely off. How could Rabbah have thought of himself that he is half sinful when we know he did mitzvahs and all day long and he studied Torah all day long. Okay, you can say maybe he thought he sinned once in a while, but half? If the abandoning means that he's half of his life he's sinning, that's ridiculous. That even if he's very humble, he couldn't possibly believe that. So that's his question. Therefore, we're going to say, as we're going to soon see, okay, we're going to see soon that the Beinoni, therefore, he's going to conclude, the Beinoni has to be someone who doesn't have any sins. And nevertheless, he's not a tzaddik. Even someone who doesn't sin at all is not a tzaddik. And Rabbi never sinned, and nevertheless, he thought of himself as a Beinoni. But one thing is for sure, it cannot mean that a Beinoni is someone who's half good and half bad, because Rabbi would not have ever been able to mistake that. How can he make that mistake and think of himself as half sinful? And another question is, here's the thing. At the time that a person is doing a sin, a person is called a perfect sinner. Called a rush, a complete rush. And if afterwards a person repented, he's called a tzaddik, a complete tzaddik. What is this referring to? He's saying like this, when would we be a b'chlal, he says, in general, how can a person in any case be a beinoni? It says like this, when a person sins, even if you just do one sin, if a person deliberately goes ahead and does a sin, that deems the person a rasha. Like we see the Gemara says many times, that if a person commits, violates one of the commandments, this person is called a rasha, he's called a wicked person. That's even if he only did one sin. For one sin, it's called a rasha. Now, you'll say, well, maybe, okay, so it can't be that he's a Beinoni if he has sins, because he's much worse than a Beinoni, he's a Rosh. You'll say, maybe after he does tshuva. But after a person erases, you do tshuva, you erase the sin. If you erase the sin, the Gemara says he's a tzaddik. When do we see that? The Gemara says in Masechtas Kedushin. And if a person, what's it called again, betroths a woman, and he says, I am marrying you on the condition that I am a perfect tzaddik. And we know that this person is the town sinner. Okay? He just came out, it was Yom Kippur, and he came out of a car, and he was eating a ham sandwich just a few minutes ago on Yom Kippur, and he comes out and he sees this woman walking home from shul on Yom Kippur, and he goes running over to her, and he says, I am here betrothing you if you agree that I'm on the condition that I'm a perfect tzaddik. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, that this woman needs, she is married, it's a question, meaning there is a doubt that could be she's mekudeshes. She needs a divorce in order for her to marry anybody, if she accepts it. She needs a divorce in order to be able to marry someone else. Harezu safik mekudeshes. She's besafik. Why? Because it's possible that the person thought tshuva for a moment. Could be, even if he didn't say anything, could be from between his walk, from where he stepped out of the car and he walked over there just a few steps, he had a thought of repentance. And that deems him a tzaddik gomer, a complete tzaddik. Now, the reason why she's only in doubt, Mekudeshes, is because we're not sure, because we don't know what's going on in his heart. If we would know for sure that he had that machshava, he had that thought, that repentance, then she would be for sure Mekudeshes, because he's a tzaddik, because the moment a person does tshuva, he erases his sins. So again, so he's asking the question, how is it possible to be in the middle? If you're sinning, even if you just sin one sin, you're ready to rush. If you clean the Yavera, then you're a tzaddik. So where exactly is a person a Beinoni? It's the same. Again, Rasha Gomer is a complete Rasha. Gomer is a complete tzaddik. So you might say, okay, could be for big sins, the Gemara says a person is a Rasha. But maybe small sins is where a person is called a Beinoni. If he's not doing such serious violations, but maybe small sins. So he proves that no. Even if someone transgresses a rabbinic decree or rabbinic ordinance, for that itself, a person is already called a rasha, like we see openly in the Talmud. Even if a person transgresses a light sin of the sages, I think it says in regards to someone eats before Ma'ariv. before the evening service. When once it comes time to daven, and they don't go to daven, that's a transgression. If a person is called a rasha on that, the Gemara says. Mikri rasha, the person is a rasha. Kedeisa bepedik beis diyavamis, or bepedik hemakama denida. As it says in the second chapter of Masechtas Yavamis, and the first chapter of Masechtas Nida, where it's talking about mitzvahs derabanan, or violations that are rabbinic, and in those two places it says the person is called a rasha. So we can't say that it's a small sin that would make a person a beinani, intermediate. Now what? So you might say, okay, could be the person himself isn't sinning, but they allow other people around them to sin. They're not dispatching their communal responsibilities to other people. So he takes this, it goes so far. If a person is able to protest, if a person is able to have an effect on others, and he did not protest when other people are sinning, nikra rasha, the person's already called a rasha. Bepedik vav deshvus. In the sixth chapter of Masechta Shavuos, it says that if a person is, what's it called again, has not protested against other people when they are doing, they're violating, the person is called a rosh. The Gemara says over there like this, that the Gemara asks the question in regards to the difference if you see people doing something wrong and you don't protest against it. You let it go by. So the Gemara says it's a difference of family members and people that are not family members. And the Gemara asks, what's the difference? What's the difference if the Rishayim, if it's family Rishayim or if it's non-family Rishayim? So you see, the Gemara clearly refers to the people that are not protesting, whether they're the family members or they're not family members, it calls them Rishayim in both cases. So you see that just by not, when you're able to help others or stop them from, cause others to refrain from sinning, you don't do it, then that itself is already called a rasha. So even for that, so definitely if a person sins literally, then they're definitely called a rasha already. So where are you going to have the bainani? The kolshken, the kal v'chaymer, and then how much more so, b'mevataleza mitzvah saseh. When a person is withholding from doing a positive commandment. Because he says, okay, we might argue and say like this, any type of sin that a person violates makes him a rasha. Okay? Definitely if it's a biblical sin, even if it's a rabbinic sin, and even if you're not sinning alone, but you're allowing others to sin, that itself is already called a rasha. Fine. But could be that the beinani is someone, and again, if someone is not sinning, then he's a tzaddik. So we really need to find, so where is that line in between the beinani? Where are we going to squeeze the beinani in if any little sin, even the tiniest one, is already a wicked person? And the tzaddik is the one who doesn't sin, so there's no room for the beinani. Who's the beinani? So he says, could be, we're going to have someone who's not sinning, but they're not doing everything they need to do. In other words, they're not sinning in an act, doing against, violating one of the transgressions where God says, do not do so and so, and they did it. That they don't do. But could be they're failing to do what they ought to be doing. Like, for instance, you're supposed to study Torah all day, every moment's free moment. So maybe a person who is wasting his time, he's not studying, he's not sinning, but he's just not doing mitzvahs when he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah and he doesn't do the mitzvah, maybe that's called the beinani. A tzaddik is the one who does always what's right. The rasha is the one who might do a little sin. And the beinani is the one who never sins in an outright violation against the command, but he's not doing that which he ought to be doing. Maybe we can say that. So he says no, because definitely, if someone who does a little avera, a little sin, even if it's a rabbinic sin, for that, and even if he didn't protest against someone else who's doing it, for that you call a person is already called a rasha. How much more so if a person does not do a mitzvah that he's obligated to do, and it's a biblical mitzvah, it's a daraisa, it's minat Torah. For sure, a person would be called, as he says, v'kolshken v'kal v'chaymer b'mevatel is a mitzvah saseh. If someone is didn't do a positive mitzvah, she'efshel l'kaima, that it's possible for him to fulfill, kamoi, like for example, kol she'efshel l'asik b'torah. If a person has the ability to study Torah, ve'eina osek, and he is not osek, and he's not occupying himself in Torah study, she'olav darshur dazal, and it is on him that the sages have, we turn over the page, page 10 on this side, she'olav darshur dazal, it is upon him that the sages have expounded and learned out that on him the verse says, Kidvar Hashem Baza, that the word of God he has shamed. Chulu, begoimer. Vikares tikares, and the soul should be cut off. Very serious things about someone who is able to study Torah and he wastes his time. Upshita, and it is definite, the mikra rasha tvei ma'ove isad rabbanon, that he's called a rasha more than someone who transgresses a rabbinic decree. Meaning, if we say upon him that he's shaming God's commandments, he's shaming Hashem, the word of God, because he's able to study Torah. The Torah is God's words, and God is talking to you. And a person doesn't want to pay attention, that's shaming Hashem's words. And so for sure, the person is called a wicked person more than someone who just slightly transgressed a little sin. The imkain, so now he concludes. All this is trying to bring us to one thing, that the Beinoni has to be a person who never sins. Because any type of sin, either by doing something he ought not to be doing, or by failing to do what he should be doing, would already make the person a Rasha. So the Beinoni has to be someone that doesn't even have that. Meaning, he is perfect in all of his behavior, does always what needs to be done, and avoids everything that ought to be avoided. So that brings us to the conclusion. You have to say that the Beinoni, the intermediate, ain't boy afilu oven bitul Torah, doesn't even have the sin of wasted time of not studying Torah. Why does he say, even though that's a big sin, not studying Torah, why does he say afilu? What does he say on that even though he said just now it's a big thing? Because it's the most difficult thing to be careful on. It's very hard. The Gemara says that there isn't a person who saved from this. Ein adam nitzan in bittul Torah, because every moment, I can sit down and, you know, just read a newspaper just for enjoyment. Every moment that you have, of course, there's moments that you need to do your obligations. You need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to make a living. But every spare moment that is not must for life, person should spend studying Torah. At least for a man, there's an obligation that he study Torah every spare moment. And that is a very difficult thing. That's why he says, afilu, that a Beinoni can't have that, even that. If so, the Gemara says, I just mentioned that there isn't a person who is saved from this. So what do we mean? That means there's no person. When the Gemara says that ein adam nitzal mizeh, that there isn't a person who saves from this, it means without extreme work. In other words, without putting in extra, very, very, very hard, being very intense about it, trying very hard, then everybody's going to fail in this. But it's possible. A Beinoni has to be a person who doesn't fail at all in anything. Oh, but if that's the case, if he's not sinning at all, and he's always doing what's right, I mean, this is like, wow, this is not like a normal tzaddik. This is like what we would think is like the tzaddik, unimaginable tzaddik. So if this is only a Beinoni, he's only an intermediate sinner, what's the tzaddik? That really puts the tzaddik. And that's what he's going to explain here in Tanya. That Beinoni and tzaddikim are absolutely the same on their behavior. The Beinoni's behavior, the intermediate behavior is impeccable. He's perfect in all of his behavior, always does what's right, never does what's wrong. The difference is going to be in a much deeper place inside of them, who they are in their inner being, what's taking place inside. Not in behavior, but in their inner consciousness. The Beinoni, as we're going to see, is a person who struggles with his Yetzirah. His Yetzirah is manifesting itself to the point where he's almost sinning, but he has to crush it and fight it, as we're going to see. The tzaddik is someone who has eradicated the evil from inside. Doesn't feel his inclination, doesn't have any fight anymore. He's beyond the struggle. All tzaddikim, even the imperfect tzaddik, is already at a place where he's beyond the struggle. If so, what does it mean, a tzaddik that's imperfect, or the tzaddik v'ralo? We're going to learn about that, where that is. But the Beinoni can't be someone, and that's why Rabba was able to think that he's a Beinoni. He taka never sinned, and he always did what's right. But he didn't think of himself that he's a tzaddik, that he has gotten rid of his Yetzahara. He thought of himself that he still has the battle, as we're going to see. Yes? What's the purpose of tzaddik? Oh, we're going to learn about that too. What is the tzaddik? First of all, the tzaddik is not born in that state. The tzaddik is born with a potential to reach that position, that state. But once he passes that place, yes, he has his purpose in this world is increasing holiness and goodness, not crushing evil. Beinonim, as we're going to learn later, their main job for most people is the fight itself perfects this world, as we're going to learn later. The fight, the struggle, every time we overcome the inclination, every time we fight, and that's part of purifying this world, is the the subduing of the bad inside of us. The tzaddik has a different purpose. It's beyond this purpose of struggling with evil, struggling with ra. Similar, and I'll give similar to Adam Arishon. Had Adam Arishon not sinned in the chet of the Yetzer Hara, he wouldn't have a Yetzer Hara inside of him. The Yetzer Hara only came in as a result of the sin. So what would have been Adam Arishon's purpose had he not eaten from the Yetzer Hara? There would have still been a purpose to creation. So you see, the creation has within itself, well, what's going to be the purpose after Mashiach comes? Also going to be a purpose in existence. Yeah, but we're going to see soon that he has the strength to always overcome, to always win in his struggle. We're going to see later. Okay, I think we're going to... let's just finish 2:1. And that's why Rabbah made a mistake by himself to think that he's a Beinoni, because the Beinoni... We still have 5 minutes? Oh, go ahead. That's why the Beinoni thought by himself that he is a Beinoni. I'm sorry, Rabbah thought by himself that he's a Beinoni, because the Beinoni doesn't even... Because a Beinoni is someone who never sins. Okay. Let's skip for a minute the Haggah. There's a little note that he put in over here, the Haggah. If this that we say generally, the mechtzal mechtza mikra beinoni, this that we say many times, that it is considered in the Gemara, we find many times, that someone who's half and half, half sinner, half sin, and half meritus, is called a beinoni. We use this, there's different sources in the Talmud and in the Rambam and in other places where it says, the Rambam clearly writes about a person in the Halachas of Tshuva. He writes that a person who does most mitzvahs is called a tzaddik. Someone who does mostly sins is called a Rasha. And a Beinoni is 50-50. He's somewhere in the middle. And that's what we know, Rosh Hashanah, that they weigh a person's thing, the scale. And some people are written to right away to life. Some people are written Chas V'Shalom. And then there is the middle ones, which are meaning half sinful, half mitzvahs. So that seems to contradict what we're learning over here. So he says, half and half is called a beinoni. And mostly merits, the person is called a tzaddik. That is only a borrowed term. In regards to reward and punishment. Because a person is judged after most of their actions. Which means like this. In regards to the heavenly court, when they judge a person, they use the terms tzaddik, rasha, beinoni. They are using the terms not tzaddik, rasha, beinoni in terms of a borrowed term. They're not using the word to the full meaning of what the word really means. Okay? Which means like this. Sometimes we use words, and we don't mean the words literally. We're just taking the concept of that word and we're applying it to a different situation. For instance, when you say someone, that person has a heart of stone. So what do you mean? Someone say, oh yeah? So we're going to go look in this heart, you're going to find the stone. No, the heart is a heart. It's made out of flesh. The idea of a heart of stone means they're a very cold person. They're insensitive or they're cruel and they don't feel. So that's the idea of saying a heart of stone. So that's called a borrowed term. Being that a stone is lifeless, and emotionless, so to a person who is cold and insensitive, you say that he's a heart of stone. Same as over here. When Chazal are saying that a person who is mostly mitzvahs is called a tzaddik, and mostly sinful is called a rasha, and in the middle is called a beinoni, is only a borrowed term. In regards to his judgment, how did this person come out of court? Is the person came out, and you say, let's say for example, when someone comes out and he's been exonerated in court, and you say the person is innocent. What does that mean? You say, he's innocent. Does it mean he's innocent in everything? He's an innocent human being, has never done anything wrong? It means innocence in this case. In regards to what we're talking about, they're innocent. But not in general, they're totally innocent. Same is also guilty. It doesn't mean that, it's in regards to something specific. So the same over here. When we're considering the judgment of how the person is going to be judged, Hashem judges the person based on most of his activities. So when the person is mostly good, they're called tzaddik. Mostly bad, called rasha. In the middle, beinoni. But that's not the meaning of the word to the full meaning of what it really means when the Gemara wants to characterize who a person really is. That's not at all tzaddik. Someone who's half or mostly good but does a lot of sin, still has sin, that's not a tzaddik at all. Because as we learned over here, even for one sin, they lose the status of tzaddik. They even lose the status of beinoni. They're just chas v'shalom a rasha, as we learn over here. So again, this that we say half and half is called the beinoni. V'roiv schio is mikra tzaddik, and most of it is called the tzaddik. U'shem ha-mushal, it's a borrow turn. Le'inyan schar v'oinish, in regards to reward and punishment. Because a person is judged after most of their activities. Or mikri tzaddik bedinoi, in their judgment they're called a tzaddik. Ma'achar shazoyche bedin, they came out meritous and victorious in their judgment. However, in regards to the true characterization, v'hamayla, and the quality, shel mayla su madregis chalukis, from the mayla qualities and the levels of these categories of tzaddikim u'beinonim, of the tzaddik and the beinoni, Amar Ezal, the sages clearly tell us, tzaddikim yetze tov shoiftam. Tzaddikim, their yetze tov judges them, which means they only have one voice in them. The only judge they have in their life, the only one who is directing them and guiding them is only their yetze tov. Shenemar, as it says, v'libi cholal bikirbi. My heart is empty in me. David HaMelech, King David, said about his heart that his heart is empty. What does it mean it's empty? It's vacant because he killed the Yetzirah. She'ein le Yetzirah, he doesn't have any Yetzirah anymore. Ki harga betayin is because he killed it through fasting. Avol kol mi shaloi hagia lemadrege zu, someone, anybody who did not reach this level, af shes chiyoysa merubim alav enoysav, even if his merits are greater than his sins, einoi b'maylus amadrege tzadik klal, is not on the level of tzadik at all. Even though they do a lot of good, and mostly good, but they're not a tzaddik at all, and as we said earlier, not even a beinoni. Okay? So it's again, a tzaddik is someone who killed his Yetzirah, doesn't have it anymore. Like David HaMelech, who killed his Yetzirah. Elchein Amar Azal, just to finish up to the next line, B'medrish, that's why the sages say in the Medrish, Ra'a Kodesh Baruch Hu B'tzaddikim Shemuatim, God saw that tzaddikim are few, Amad V'shaslam B'chol Doir V'doir. He went and he planted them in every generation. God saw there's only very few tzaddik. If we say a tzaddik means people that are mostly do what's right, unless they do more good than evil, you have a lot of people like that. So why does it say that Hashem saw there's only very few tzaddikim and he planted them in he planted a few of them in every generation? So obviously that tells us that a tzaddik is not someone who is mostly good, but a tzaddik is someone who's totally good and there's no bad in him at all. Like it says, "V'tzadik yisod olam," the tzadik, the foundation of the world. That, and over here it says a lashon of yachid tzadik, only one tzadik. We're going to learn over the last few lines, just to clarify this a little better, Bez Hashem, next week, 10:30 next week. Next week there's going to be another class prior to this class. Rabbi Tauber is going to be giving a class from 9:15 till 10:15 on various different topics. So tell people, it's going to be really beautiful. And then afterwards, 10:30 to 11:30 is this Tanya class. You all, everybody should have a wonderful, good week.